This is Bhajan Rahasyam class. We come to basically the end of the seventh verse of Shikshastakam, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur is, of course, describing Prem Bhajan to the level of Viparlamba, Yugayita Nameshina. This is October 21st, 2009, Kartik. Yugayita Nameshina Chakshusha Pravishayitam Shanyayitam Jagatsavam Govinda Virahiname. And he's talking, all these verses have been revealed in his heart due to his prayer for revelation to produce this book for the benefit of sadhakas at the level of Rati and Ajatarati, those that are at the level of Bhav, Ajatarati sadhakas, and those that are endeavoring for Bhav and Prem and Krishna consciousness, the Ajatarati sadhakas. And this is one of, this is next to the last book that he wrote. The last book was called Niyam, Swaniyam Dasakam, his own. It's kind of like Manashiksha. Very much like Raghunath Das's Manashiksha, the very last thing he wrote was just a summary of his basic points of bhajan. But he wrote this as a sequel to Harinam Chintamani, and these were the secrets of bhajan, and these secrets were revealed to him by Gaur Gadadhar and Radha Madhav, his Ishtadevs. And the secrets of serving Krishna at the level of Prem and Viparlamba, all the different verses of the gopis speaking and Sudur Pravas Rag and Viparlamba Bhav, feeling Krishna's separation in Kurukshetra and Dwarka, and all the intense feelings of Bhav and desires to leave their body and hankering for union with Krishna and meeting him again and bringing him back to Vrindavan. All these things we've been hearing over the last couple of weeks. And now we're just reviewing some notes about this, how to bring this down to our level of Purvarag Bhajan, you could say. Purvarag, of course, is a level of prema and separation. Purvarag, prema by Chityaman, Pravasarag. We're not on that level of prema. So we're the Ajatarati Sadakas. We don't have Bhav. And we read these verses, we chant the holy name, we meditate on Yugayita Nameshina. And Hari Ram, Hari Ram. Ram Ram, these two words, Ram Ram. He's saying these two words, this pair of Yugal Nam, this pair of names, Ram Ram, indicates Yugayita Nameshina. So when he was chanting Ram Ram, from Ram Ram came out Yugayita Nameshina. And from Ram Ram came out Virahina, Govinda Virahina. From Ram Ram, Govinda Virahina, who's speaking this verse? This is Mahaprabhu and Radha Bhav and Gambhir Leela. In the last 6 years of his intense, going into the deepest, darkest regions of the intensity of Radharani's heart, which are invisible, completely invisible to any ordinary personality, even invisible to Krishna, and by the mercy of Gadadhar and Sri Damodar and Radharani herself, Mahaprabhu or Sri Krishna was able to understand something in the depths of Radharani's heart and the depths of her Mahabhav, Mananakya Mahabhav. So therefore, that those depths are called Gambhir Leela. Gambhir means very deep, very confidential, very dark. And that last 6 years, having gone to the deepest, darkest depths of Radharani's heart, the Gambhir, the deep, dark chamber of Radharani's heart, where this Mananakya Mahabhav is enshrined and also contained, that's the Mahanidhi, the great treasure within the heart of Radharani, Brajaprema Mahanidhi Kutarika. Says Rupa Goswami, he broke open the storehouse. Manani means storehouse or treasure. He broke open the storehouse of Braja Prem within the heart of Radharani and revealed it to the world and to the followers of Rupa Goswami. In that discovery, in that revelation of Radharani's heart, Krishna and Radha Bhav cried out for Govinda. Hey Govinda, a moment without you feels like 12 years or more. Govinda Virahina. So this, when Bhaktivinoda chanted Ram Ram, the Maha Mantra, out came the Gopis Bhav, out came this Mananakya Bhav, out came Govinda Virahina Bhav, came this prema and separation, Govinda Virahina. And as he explored, as he chanted more this name Ram Ram and the Maha Mantra and meditated and prayed, then all so many whole string of 24 verses came out, and they became the sum and substance of chapter 7, Saptamayam Sadhana, this chapter from Bhajan Rahasyam. And then he explains that for the sadhakas endeavoring for Krishna, prema, and endeavoring for Bhav, Gopi Bhav, Because the book specifically directs one towards Madhurya Bhav and Gopi Bhav, because he's Kamala Manjari, and this is his secrets of Kamala Manjari's bhajan. Bhajan Rahasin. These are the secrets of Kamala Manjari's bhajan. These are the secrets of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajan. As a sadhaka endeavoring for Manjari Bhav, he is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Satchidananda. As a siddha, as a perfect associate of Radharani and Madhurya Bhav, Palidasya Bhav, Palidasya of Radharani, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur is Kamala Manjari. On two levels, he's presenting his bhajan for two levels of sadhakas, for the siddha and for the endeavoring siddha. Over the last couple of days, we've been describing that for us, our bhajan, as Srila Prabhupada once said in one purport, it's on folio, you can see, I only found one reference, maybe there's more, but he says that we should learn to do bhajan. Our bhajan is something, he says, vipralamba seva, this term he used, vipralamba seva. Seva, bhajan means seva. So vipralamba bhajan, even Prabhupada is mentioning vipralamba bhajan, that our bhajan is in separation. And another purport in a Krishna book, Prabhupada is saying that the duty of the spiritual master is to develop the mood of to train his disciples in such a way that they develop the mood of separation from Radha and Krishna. We are separated, and so as Bhaktivinoda Thakur is mentioning, and he quotes in his Satamayam Sadhana some verses to help the sadhaka endeavoring to develop and increase his mood of separation, his feelings of separation from Radha and Krishna. Then he gives some verses and talks about the purva rag, the love that develops, the intense attachment love that develops before one actually meets Krishna face to face, and before one actually develops his loving relationship and service relationship with Krishna. So there's verses cited about Rukmini, Rukmini's budding love for Krishna, her purva rag, and the Yajnapatni's purva rag, and the Mathura Ramani's purva rag, the ladies of Mathura, they all developed intense attraction and attachment for Krishna by hearing about him. And that's the sum and substance of bhajan for the sadhaka, one of the levels of bhajan, especially very important level. The foundational level is called Shravanadasha, hearing directly from the mouth of the spiritual master, Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru. So this is the, yesterday we were talking about this Vipralamba Bhajan. So this, some notes we have collected here I wanted to read from Crying in Eagerness. Practicing devotee, that's us, or at least most of us, should feel ashamed. Of course we don't, but we shouldn't. Ashamed means embarrassed or unhappy or sad about. We should feel ashamed for not feeling separation from Krishna. So many years we've been chanting Hare Krishna, or so many months, so many years that we're aware of, and possibly so many years that we're not aware of. So many years, so many lifetimes. Years means prior years. So many lifetimes we have been chanting Hare Krishna. A practicing devotee should feel ashamed for not feeling separation from Krishna. In other words, if our bhajan of our hearing and chanting is being done properly, then some mood of separation must come. But mood of separation means we've come by chanting, hearing and chanting and serving Krishna properly. We start to feel, yes, Krishna exists. He exists everywhere, and especially within me. But there's some wall of separation. My inability to surrender and my inability to dedicate myself fully, although I can see Krishna through that opaque, the wall is opaque. It is not solid brick. It's an opaque, like a glass wall. Opaque means you can see some light. I see form of Krishna through the opacity of the wall. It's opaque. It's white, not clear glass like a window you can see clearly. I understand that Krishna is near me, but because of my offenses and surrender, I'm not able to actually see him clearly. So then I cry. I feel the separation and I cry. So then that means our bhajan is going good. Once some spiritual teachers, when they meet their students, they ask them, how is your bhajan? And the student might say, the disciple might say, oh, it's very good. My bhajan is going very nice. Everything's going nice. Then the guru will say, oh, that's very bad. He'll say, that's very bad. And the disciple will say, oh, I got trapped here because I wanted to give a good report to my spiritual master. How is your bhajan? How is your hearing and chanting? Oh, Guruji, everything's going nicely. He'll usually say this. Oh, Guruji, by your mercy. By your mercy, everything's going nicely. My job, my health is good. My job is good. Family, wife, everything's nice. I'm getting up early. I'm reading, doing my seva. Everything's nice. Going nicely. By your mercy, I'm so... And Gurudev is, oh, I feel so sad. I must have failed in some way. And then Guru starts crying. And the disciple is thinking, Guruji, what's wrong? Why are you unhappy? Why? I thought you would be happy by my progress, by my steadiness. Yes, on one level I'm happy that you're steady and behaving nicely and carrying out my orders. But I'm unhappy, I'm crying because you're not actually, you're missing the very point. Because the point of bhajan is to feel that you're nowhere and to feel that you're not advancing and to feel the utmost urgency of going deeper and going further and surrendering more and doing more and feeling utter worthlessness and feeling yourself to be wretched and unqualified and really in need of more mercy. And so I was hoping you would say something like this when I asked you, how is your bhajan? I was anticipating or hoping you would say, oh, Guruji, I'm terrible. I'm in a terrible position. I don't have any love for Krishna. I don't have any attachment for your lotus feet. I am not genuine at all. I'm just a show bottle devotee. I'm completely false. I don't have any desire really to even serve, but I'm going through the motions like a robot. And somehow, okay, I'm getting up, I'm doing what you've asked, but I'm not doing it with my heart. And I'm not, it's just mechanical, you know, this type of thing. Then the guru says, yes, yes, very good. You're really advancing. You feel you're the worst disciple, and you're crying. When you're looking at me, there's tears in your eyes, not this kind of Cheshire cat look. That you just swallowed a big mouse, and yeah, you just swallowed a big mouse, and you feel fat, happy, and satisfied. Oh Guruji, by your mercy, everything's going nicely. I just got a raise in my pay, and my father died and left me a big money, and I bought a new Mercedes, and my wife got me a Rolex for my birthday, and everything's going really nice, and so this is the point. So this feeling ashamed. What's wrong? What's with me? What's happening? What's wrong with me? That I don't feel a separation. I read the prayers of Bhaktivinoda and Narottam, and I don't have any of these feelings, and I don't want to crack my head in separation from Krishna's Kaviraj or Rupa Goswami. Wherever they went, I don't know. That's fine with me. I don't feel like dying in their separation, or I can't live without seeing them, or I'm going to give up all. I've given up all hope. So that means there's something wrong. That we've done 10 years of chanting, or 15 years, or whatever, and this kind of separation mood is not coming. Then we better revamp our practices, or overhaul our view of our sadhana, and get an injection of and change the direction. And that happens by proper association and self-interest and introspection and honest evaluation of where we are and what we are and where we have to go and who we have to become. A practicing devotee should feel ashamed of not feeling separation from Krishna. As long as one is interested in material pleasure, he can't feel this void and emptiness in his heart. So if the heart is filled up, the heart has a certain limited space. The heart, the physical heart, the emotional heart, has its area. It takes up some space. And if the chambers of the heart are filled up with material and spirit of enjoyment and particular specific pleasures which we derive from this body and this world and the senses and relationships in this world, then there's no space in that part of our heart to put Krishna there. To put Radharani there. They are, that's the meaning of spaced out. They say spaced out. means that we've pushed Krishna out of the space of our heart, spaced out. Krishna's out of the space. We have some space in our heart, but there's no space for Krishna. Our wife is there, our body is there, our mind is there, whatever. Our husband is there. It's a very interesting statement. As long as we're interested in material pleasure, we can't feel this void and emptiness of the heart. Because that's what separation is all about. You read the Vilakusamanjali by Raghunath Das Goswami and Utkalika Valari by Rupa Goswami and other prayers in Stavavali and, of course, Narottam, Spartana, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sharanagati and other books, song books. And it's so much the voice, the poetry of emptiness, the voice of the void, the voice of the void, the heart devoid of love, the heart devoid of the tangible presence of Krishna, the mind devoid of the direct perception of Radharani. That's the real emptiness. Our mind is full of objects and full of persons and full of ideas, but our mind is not full of Krishna, and our mind is not full of Radha, and desires to serve and please Radharani. As Rupaliyadasi, our mind is full of lots of things. It's not empty at all. Can anyone say their minds are empty? Can anyone say their minds are, hearts are empty? Because if that, this, we should feel this emptiness. We say, oh, I don't feel empty. My mind is so full. I have a full agenda. So we have to clear out the heart. That's Chaito Dharvana Marjanam. Chaito Dharvana Marjanam means clearing out the house, clearing the heart. So then we can, then when the heart's clear, we can say, hey, there's nothing here. Kam Krodh Lobh is gone. Nadanam Nujanam Sundaram Kavitam Vaja Gadishkame. There's nothing here in the heart. It's empty. There's nothing material here. And there's no ambitions or desires for material aspirations, pleasures, attainments, goals, people, acquirements. But there's no Krishna here either. There's no Krishna here, there's no Radharani here. Okay, there's an emptiness. There's a void, Nirvashesh, like Prabhupada said, Nirvashesh Shunyavad. That he's come to deliver people that are already empty. People that are empty, Nirvashesh and void. Shunyavad means void. They're already void, that means devoid of Krishna. Doesn't mean we're devoid of something or someone in our hearts and minds. But if, by process of purification and Krishna consciousness, our hearts become cleaned out. Cleansing of the heart, Chaito Darpan, Marjan. Marjan means cleaning. And then, so that's the beginning of feeling separation from Krishna. It's cleaning the heart. So desires or all pleasures are removed. Then we can feel, oh, well, Krishna, I don't want anything of this world. I really want you, and I want your world and you. I don't want this world and the people in this world. I don't want this world, the people in this world, and the objectives and pleasures of this world. I want your world and the people in your world and the objectives and pleasures and service of your world. Brajadam. But that's not there in my heart. On one side I'm empty, and the other side, and I'm empty in the material world and empty in the spiritual world. That's the emptiness. That's the beginning emptiness where we cry in separation. We cry in eagerness. Oh, Krishna, please come now. Come to my heart. So this is the kind of the first step. The first step in the eagerness is feeling the emptiness of this world, feeling the emptiness and lack of interest to enjoy the material world. Then Krishna comes first as Balaram. Because Krishna enters first as Balaram to prepare the Dham of the heart. Krishna entered Devaki's heart as Balaram and created the Sat Dham. Sat Dham, the platform or the plane of love has to be cleared. The plane, the ground of love has to be cleared of all the boulders and rocks of greed, anger, lust, envy. So the six sons of Kalanemi, who are represented by greed, anger, lust, envy, etc., pride, intoxication, madness, they were symbolically destroyed with Kamsa's killing of the first six children of Devaki. And the seventh child, which appeared to be a miscarriage later, entered her womb as Balaram. Balaram means guru. So when we're feeling somewhat devoid, and we're feeling somewhat empty, and somewhat our heart is cleansed by Sukriti and proper Sukriti, Bhakti Amukhi Sukriti, then Sarasanga comes, Guru comes, then Balaram. Balaram comes as Guru and establishes the Dham in the heart. He establishes the Sat Dham, the field of eternality. He establishes the field by which we can develop the mood of separation. First, we have to come empty. We don't want anything. We're frustrated and thoroughly frustrated and given up our attempts to enjoy this material world and material relationships therein. So that's a certain type of emptiness or a certain type of voidness. That's a cleansing. It's an inner cleansing of the mind and heart. And then Balaram comes. Guru comes. And then Guru gives the seed of bhakti, then Krishna comes. So between the emptiness of the material world and feeling the emptiness of Krishna's presence and Radha's presence in the heart, then that's the whole sadhana. So now we're performing sadhana, and our sadhana should create intense feelings of separation. Kotaigo prema mahi radhe radhe. Gaurakishoradas Babaji was chanting in intense viraha, 30 years wandering all over Vrindavan, crying out this prayer, Kotai go prema mahi. Kotai, where are you, Radharani? Oh, prema mahi Radha. Ekbar Radhakunme Abar. And one time, Ekbar, one time at Radhakun, next time at Shamakun or Jamuna. All these Leela Stalis going here and there, everywhere. Where are you, Radharani? You're made of praying. This is praying Dham, Sri Dham. Where are you? Where are you? I can't find you. Where are you? Where are you? So this is the epitome of separation, crying at every moment for the darshan of Radharani. So as long as we're interested in material pleasures, we have any interest, any delight, any attraction to material enjoyment or pleasures, we cannot feel this void and emptiness in our heart. That's why we don't feel ashamed. We don't feel any shame because we're not feeling separation from Krishna. Because we're quite satisfied with our present pursuits. But we should not be satisfied simply by being materially secure and by mechanically performing our daily sadhana. Devotees should feel sorry and unhappy for being attached to material comfort. And he should anxiously pray like Narottam Das in Prarthana. So these are the prayers, and these are the appropriate prayers or sadhakas at the level of Sharanagati and Danya Bodhika, which are given in Prarthana. Here's an example. Hari, Hari, when will that blessed day be mine? When will I wander around Vrindavan, completely detached, eating only some fruits and roots at the end of the day? When will I eagerly bathe in Yamuna or Radhakund, overwhelmed with love? When will I wander around Vrindavan with my arms upraised, crying, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna? When will I soothe my heart by seeing the meeting place or the Leela Stali, the Yogapit of Radha and Krishna? When will I roll around in the dust of the Yogapit, the dust of that place in loving ecstasy, crying out, Hey Radhe, O Praneshwari, O Queen of my life, O Queen of my heart, O Giridhari, Hey Nath, where are you? When will I sit in a Madhavi Kunj and filled with happiness and filled with happiness upon hearing a male and female parrot sing the rasa-filled songs about Radha and Krishna's love affairs? This fallen Narottam Das Thakur has one difficult to fulfill desire. I want to see Govardhan and Gopinath. I want to see go to Govardhan and see Gopinath sitting on a jeweled throne with Radhika. When will that day be mine? So this is a song in a mood of intense humility and Sharanagati, surrendering intense humility, admitting that I'm not there, I want to be there, I'm feeling so much separation from Krishna and Vrindavan, although I'm here, I'm wandering around Vrindavan. So we should have this similar mood and pray to Narottam and pray to his book Prarthana that such moods come to us. By regularly singing and meditating upon such prayers, a sadhaka will start to feel separation from Radha and Krishna and cry out for their mercy. So this is the what happens, that by association you develop the qualities. This is the crystal effect, bhajan, the crystal effect in bhajan, that one takes on the qualities of his association. So the association with a living Vaishnava is the most powerful, dynamic, four-dimensional association. It's always recommended to associate with an advanced living Vaishnava. Hear the electrifying katha from his holy lips, because it has great penetration quality. And he has his drishti, dan and shravana dan. He can give the wealth through his glance, through his touch, through his words. But the books are somewhat limited, although they're also very powerful. And in the absence of a living sadhu, or if we're denied such fortune, then we take shelter of the great books of our tradition, like Prarthanas and books of Bhaktivinoda and Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta. And we intensely pray. It's a little more difficult to access all the mercy there. Living sadhu is an ATM. He's an ATM machine. Anytime mercy. ATM means anytime mercy. He can give his mercy. But this is a fact. The crystal effect means that if you have a crystal, of course, is white prismed glass, and put some colored object next to it, then the prisms, the different facets and angles of that crystal will reflect, take on the rays of that, the vibration. Color is only a vibration of light, will take on the vibration and incorporate it in itself, and then that clear crystal ball becomes reddish in color because of the red object near it. This is the crystal effect in bhajan. We're reading this prayer and over and again by Narottam, feeling separation from Radha and Krishna, and crying with his arms raised up, crying, "Krishna, Krishna, O Praneshwari, O Gopinath, I'm so fallen, I can't see you, please, when will I see you? When will I truly experience your presence here in Vrindavan?" And we read over and again and we pray, and then some feelings of separation actually come. The color of his separation, his heart, Narottam Das Thakur is a Premi Bhakta, he's Champak Bhandari. The color of his heart, at least in these prayers. Of course, there's also prayers of union where he's in his Siddhadeha as Champak Bhandari and directly rendering service there, brushing Radharani's hair, and those are the prayers of Siddhi Lalasa. But here he's in Sadaka Roop. We're in Sadaka Roop, practitioners, and these are prayers for us at our level. And he's coming to our level and saying, "Yes, take it. Here in this prayer, I'm absorbed in the mood of a sadhaka, in the mood of separation, vipralamba bhav, purvarag, and vipralamba bhav, vipralamba seva. This is my mood. I'm conveying it very clearly here and very exactly here. You pick it up. It's easy. That's why you have a teacher, to save time, save energy. Save energy and time, take a teacher. If you want to learn guitar and yourself, you maybe learn after a few lifetimes. Unless you have purva sanskaras from last life, then you can just start moving around. But a teacher will save a lot of time." So he's a teacher of Vipralamba Bhajan and of Rag Bhakti, one of the best, one of the greatest, Narottam. So he's, take this prayer and sit next to this prayer. Be that crystal. And his heart is colored with this anurag, intense anurag for Radharani, intense redness of anurag. And by repeating this prayer over and over and praying and desiring, having one point of desire to attain such bhav and such feelings in our own bhajan, then the color of his heart will paint our hearts and we'll take on that color. Of course, what we say, for the beginner, for the sadhaka, as a crystal is reflecting the color, red color next to it, if you take the red color away, then the crystal's not red anymore. It's again clear. It's not its own color that it's emanating. It's emanating and adopting and reflecting the color of what it's nearby, the proximity. So as long as we associate with Narottam Das Thakur and other devotees that are in this mood of Vipralamba, then that Vipralamba comes and colors our hearts. And in the beginning, it's reflected. It's only we're reflecting their hearts. And that's called a nectar devotion. It's called, sometimes even a neophyte exhibits symptoms of bhava, but they're only reflections called chaya or pratibimba. But then he goes in the association of devotees and saw bhava bhaktas and premi bhaktas, and they're chanting, crying, and he may cry due to the association and feel genuine, some feelings of separation. But then as soon as he leaves the association, then he never cries for 100 years, and he doesn't feel that because it was only reflected. It wasn't inborn. It wasn't inherent within himself. self-generated. It was only reflected. In the beginning, we're reflecting the color. Then that color eventually colors our hearts by continual association and sincerity and purity of purpose. We come to that mood of Vipralamba in our own bhajan, which is equivalent to Bhava Bhakti.